Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Let's take our Bibles together now. Have our Bible study in the book of Zechariah. Finishing up this chapter of the Word of God, chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. And we've come to verse 18. We've got four verses. And really they encompass the second and third things that Zechariah has seen, or we could call them the second and third visions of this prophet. And they have great meaning, so much so that I've been reading too much history trying to figure out some of this stuff, because some of it has to do with how God works through history and through nations. He's working His will. But let's look together. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it." Let's ask the Lord for understanding. Father, we know every part of your word is important. And though maybe we've not given any thought in recent days of these four horns and four carpenters, they must be very important in your plan, or you wouldn't have put it in the Word of God for us to read and to learn from. And so we pray, Lord, tonight you would build us up upon our most holy faith. Help us to learn something. Help us to understand these things. May they make a difference in our hearts and lives. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, our question probably would be just as Zechariah's. What are these? So in verse 18 and 19, he talks about four horns. And in verse 19 or verse 20 and 21, he talks about four carpenters. All right, let's pray and we'll go home. That's what he saw. And he doesn't really understand what these are, but they have to do with God's plan and purpose, not only for his people, but for the world. I want you, when he asks, what are these horns here? What be these, verse 19, about these horns that he's seeing? Now, we're not talking about, we're talking about horn that would be on an animal. We're not talking about Brother Matthew's horn up here, or some trumpet. We're talking about an animal's horn. And if you read through the Bible, the horns are usually a description of strength. If you read every reference to a horn in the Bible, you'd understand that. You know, David talked about God being the horn of his salvation, things of that nature. But these go into a little more detail now. And Zechariah doesn't know what he's looking at. He doesn't know what they are. And so he just asks a question. You know, it's good to ask God questions. It's all right. He appreciated it. He didn't say, "Zechariah, why are you ignoramus? Well, can't you tell they're horns?" He's going to find that later on. But really, he doesn't understand what God's trying to show him. And sometimes we don't understand what God's trying to show us when we ask him, you know. A lot of times we have not because we ask not, and sometimes that have not is understanding. Sometimes that have not is the wisdom that we need in our lives. What is this, God? I'm looking at it, but I don't know what it is. You ever come to that place in your life? I don't know what this is, Lord. Help me to understand it. And so the Bible said in verse 19, he answered me, "These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Now, you know, the people of God in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, their kingdoms were divided. And there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And Judah became that last part of the kingdom of Israel that was around until they finally, as a whole people, went into captivity. And the Bible says that the horns scattered them. Go all the way back to, or before you go all the way back, look at chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. Remember the word scattered. He said these horns are they that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Zechariah is a part of that remnant that has come back home after God has allowed all of his people to go into captivity. He scattered them. And really, he says he's the one that did it in verse 14. You see that? But I scattered them. But what God does, he uses, you know, this is the way God always does. God uses things to accomplish his purposes. I mean, God could have come down and just moved them himself without any human instrumentation, but he didn't do that. Just like today, if God's going to get the gospel to people, he uses people to do that. God scattered Israel, but he used four horns to do that. Now, go all the way back to Leviticus. This was, you know, it's just like the Lord to say, you know, I told you so. I told you what was going to happen before it happened. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26. God told them right when they became a nation, when Moses is leading them out of Egypt, when Moses is writing the law for them, God told them what was going to happen in advance if they didn't do what he said, if they didn't take to heart his will. And you know the good thing about God, God is reliable. That's a statement I heard years and years ago, old Brother Hoffmeister, not James, but his dad. He said, God is reliable. That was his phrase. He'd always say, God is reliable. In other words, you can count on what he says. Is anybody hot besides the one person that's fanning and the preacher up front? Okay, yeah, all right. Thank you, Brother Ray. Appreciate you taking care of that for us. I don't know what to do with it, but just say, Brother Ray. But what was I saying? Reliable. You can count on what God says. And that's a blessing. That really is a blessing. But it's not just in a positive sense. In other words, you can count on God whipping your behind if you don't follow his path. And that's what's happened to the nation of Israel. They're scattering. He did that with four horns. Look back. And he told them that way before they even started out on their journey as a nation. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 33. Watch this. He says, and I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities wait. This is before they even had all the cities all done. He said, I'm going to just scatter you. Your city is going to be waste. Then shall the land enjoy your Sabbaths. And he goes on down at the end. He said, I'm still going to bring you back. I'm not going to forget about you. You can read the rest of the chapter. But he prefaces all this in verse 14. Look at verse 14 of Leviticus 26. But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments. And then he tells them what he's going to do. In other words, you can count on God. If you don't do right, God's going to do right by you. And what he tells Israel is, I'm going to scatter you to try to teach you a lesson. And this land that I gave you, I can take it away just as quick as I gave it. Isn't that true about the Lord? God has blessed us. He can take away our blessings just as fast as he gave them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. And he tried to get Israel to listen to this before they started messing with idolatry, okay? Before they linked up with the heathen and did as the heathen did. And if they would have believed that God was reliable when he said, they wouldn't have gone that way. Deuteronomy 4, verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you. That's our word that Zechariah is using, that these horns are doing, okay? And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. And ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. I wish I could read a whole lot of this. I can't, but it's a whole context of how God promises Israel, if you don't do what I say, and if you start worshiping idols, if you put other things before me, I'm just going to send you off the land into all the nations, and you're going to be just a few left. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Just a few more verses on this. Deuteronomy 28. Because I think it's important to understand these horns. Zechariah has gotten back into the land, and God is reminding Zechariah that God is the one that scattered them. God's the one that brought them to the land, and God's the one that scattered them out into the nations, and God was the one that brought them back. It looks like God's in control. And it would be great if He was in control of their heart. Deuteronomy 28, verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you. That's great, isn't it? God said, I rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you. Look at it. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. He said, I'll rejoice to multiply you and to bless you, and I'll rejoice to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked off the land, from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, shall the sole of thy foot have rest. He tells them this way in advance. But they didn't believe him and they blew it. Look at chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things shall come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. You see, God puts it before you. You can have the blessing, you have the curse. It's not that God's a bad God. He said, here's a blessing, here's a curse. What do you want? And it's all based upon your relationship with me and my word. I'll rejoice over you to bless you, or I'll rejoice the other way. That's strange to think that God's that way. But God, look, God's not fooling around. He's not fooling around. And he tells them way before, he didn't want this to happen to them. He didn't want to scatter. I mean, look at all God went through to get them into the promised land, right? What a waste that he had to scatter them because they just didn't do his will. They didn't do what he said for them to do. And they began living like the people that he ran out. Matter of fact, God says, you're doing worse than the people that I ran out of here. Wouldn't it be awful if we started doing worse than the Indians did that God ran out of here? Maybe I just lost somebody. The poor Indians, you know. I know that's what they say, the poor Indians, but I mean, they were savages until they got the gospel, praise the Lord. But man, I tell you what, it seems like we're headed back toward the jungle. Anyway, that's another message. Where I'm trying to read Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I have commanded thee, and thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. God just says this, you do right, I'll keep you in the land, you do wrong, you're gonna go. And Zechariah is in that transferring time where now he's brought them back. Go to Ezekiel chapter 6. You say, well, what was God doing with them, scattering them into other nations? He was trying to teach them a lesson. He was trying to teach them a lesson so that they would never worship idols again. It's sad when we can't learn the lessons that God brings in our lives, even though they're hard to learn many times. Ezekiel chapter 6, look at verse 8. Yet will I leave a remnant that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations which ye shall be scattered. There's the word again, through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations. You see verse 9? They that escape of you shall remember me among the nations whither they shall be carried captive. Because I am broken with their whorish heart. Wow. Which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. You see, he said, I'm going to teach them a lesson in that, in those nations that I've scattered them. They're going to remember me, And they are going to loathe themselves that they did these things that God had to punish them. And they'll know that I'm God and that what I say, I mean. That's why he sent them into the nations. Look at chapter 12, Ezekiel 12, verse 15. I'm trying to get to the horns, but if I take enough time of this, I won't have to talk much about them. Amen. Ezekiel 12, he said in verse 15, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries, but I will leave a few men of them. He's just trying to teach them who he is. And usually that's what God's doing when he's chastening us as well. One more. Look at chapter 22. Why is God doing this? Chapter 22, verse 15. Ezekiel 22, 15. And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries and will consume. Look at it. Will consume thy filthiness out of thee. Why did God scatter them in the nations? To clean their lives up. It's like God said this. You want idolatry? I'll give you idolatry. Go to this land that has no temple. Go to this land that has no priest. Go to this place that has no altar of sacrifice. Go to this place where there's only idolatry. See how much you like it over there. So he scatters them. You know what's scary about that? We call that technically the diaspora. That's the scattering of the Jews. And they're still that way today. There are more Jewish people outside of Israel than there are in Israel. In 2017, when God scattered them, when that last horn, when really the third horn got through scattering them, they just never got back. And they're still that way. And you know what the lesson we ought to learn from that? Look at, hurry, grab Acts 8. This is the lesson the church should learn from this. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all what? Didn't we just read that about Israel? They were all, this is the church now, all scattered abroad through the regions of where? Judea and where? You know, if you turn Acts 1:8 around, you got, or Acts 8:1 around, you got Acts 1:8. You know what God told him in Acts 1:8? What he told the church? Be witnesses unto me. Where? Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 8, you know where they are? They're still at Jerusalem. They're not going where he told them to go. So you know what he does? He did just what he did for the children of Israel. He starts scattering them. He turns the heat up on them. And now they're going to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth because they can't stand the heat in the kitchen that's at Jerusalem. See verse 4? Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? That's what he told them to do in Acts 1:8. God just has a way of scattering things when they're not doing what he tells them to do. Like Sunday morning we was preaching about you were as sheep going astray, but now are returned. That's what's happening in Zechariah's life. He has returned. They finally got their belly full and came back to God, and they returned to God, so God returned them to the land. Now, these horns. Go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Every time I get to study in Daniel, I get so deep in the weeds. And I start running all sorts of rabbit trails. What is a horn? What is this horn? Well, I got to go to Daniel to find out what this horn is. I know that God's using all four horns to scatter Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. I understand that. But what's a horn? Why did he use that word? Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. I'm just going to read it. I'd like to come back to it, but right now I'm just going to read it. Daniel 7:24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 what? Kings that shall arise. Look at chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, verse 20. The ram which thou sawest, having two what? Horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Do you see that? Verse 21. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. You know, the wild thing, the Lord God prophesied about all these kingdoms before they ever got there. It's not like God said, oh, Alexander the Great. Oh, that's an interesting thing in history. God told you about Alexander the Great before Alexander the Great was sucking his thumb. He told the whole story. Man, what a God we have. I think we got, if God knows all the empires that are coming, we can trust Him. Amen. Daniel chapter 8, verse 21. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Do you see that? So just by putting scripture with scripture, what would you think a horn would be? A king. I'll read one more for you. Look at Revelation 17. We'll go to the New Testament and see if that still carries over. Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. I love the Bible. And the Bible, Lester Roloff said the Bible was God's gold mine, but nobody will ever dig. That's what he said. There's so much in here. Revelation 17:12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 what? Okay, so I got Old Testament, I got New Testament references equating a horn with a king, right? So if I've got four horns or four kings that are scattering the nation of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, then that's four horns or kings that God raises up to move Israel off of their land. Does that make sense? Now, the first one is easy. That's the king of Assyria. It's called, he's named in the Bible, Shalmaneser. And God raised him up. And what the king of Assyria did, he came to the kingdom of Israel or Samaria, and he came to them and he defeated them and he took them out of the land and he replaced them. We don't have time to read the verses. He replaced them with other people. He carried them away captive, just moved them around, put them in all different nations. That was Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria. But the problem with Shalmaneser was he got sort of big for his britches, and then we have him coming against, or the, at least Assyria coming against through Sennacherib, Hezekiah. And God says, no, it's not time for that one yet. I'm going to move them, but I'm not moving them yet. And they made so much fun of Hezekiah, and man, the things they said to the Jews, I mean, this is ridiculous. We'll send you, just come on out. You know, this is not even a fight, not even a battle. And you remember Hezekiah, he went and wept before God and sent the letter to Isaiah and all that. And God stopped that because God says this, I used you to move the one part of Israel into captivity, but I'm not going to use you to use this part. In other words, God's in such control that He only lets even the ones that He wants to do something go as far as He wants them to go. I mean, in the human mind, you'd say, man, Hezekiah didn't have a chance. Or we say in our modern vernacular, he didn't have a prayer, but he did have a prayer. And he had a God. And God stopped the king of Assyria right there. But that first horn, I believe it's easily understood, at least I think so, as Assyria or Shalmaneser, the king. You know, the interesting thing about all these horns, because the second horn is going to be, you're in Daniel, I think. Look at Daniel chapter 1. The second horn is going to be Babylon or King Nebuchadnezzar. And what happens, of course, you know the story. Hezekiah shows these ambassadors of Babylon into the kingdom. And anyway, at the end of the day, God takes Judah into captivity through a second king, King Nebuchadnezzar. So I would say he's horn number two. And what Nebuchadnezzar does, Daniel 1 verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part. See that? God just said, okay, you're defeated. But God, this is Judah. Yeah, and it's time for them to be scattered. With part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar, the house of his God, and he brought the vessels. Verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and the princes. So that's what Nebuchadnezzar does too. He brings the children of Israel into captivity also. And he moves other people around the land, just like the king of Assyria did in the other half of Israel. So when Nebuchadnezzar does these things, now this is what intrigues me. Every time one of these horns come up, Do you know the book of Jonah is God sending Jonah to the capital city of Assyria, Nineveh? You understand that Nineveh is the capital of Assyria? The first horn, God sends his own prophet. Do you know the book of Nahum is about the destruction of Assyria and the destruction that he's going to bring to the king of Assyria and all the people of Assyria. In other words, God uses this horn, this king of Assyria, to move the children of Israel off, but God sends them the word of God as well. Nebuchadnezzar. The second horn, God uses Nebuchadnezzar, and he takes the children of Israel into captivity, the children of Judah, and that kingdom is gone, takes them into captivity. And what does God do for Nebuchadnezzar? He's got a witness right there. Daniel's preaching to him. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael are preaching to him. Otherwise known with their Babylonian worldly names as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're preaching to him, and the message of God gets to this heathen king. What I'm trying to say, the most heathen king in the world, and God's using the heathen of the world to accomplish his purposes. God uses the devil. Anyway, that I may get to that in a minute. But he sends those heathen kings the word of God. He uses them, but he tries to reach them too. The third horn. Who's the third horn? Well, when the children of Israel come back, that's after the Babylonian captivity. That's Zechariah. He's in the land. So then there's another captivity after that that scatters them. And that's going to be that kingdom that Daniel talked about that was a kingdom of iron. And that's the Roman Empire. That's Daniel 7, verse 7. And what happened in 70 AD was, after the crucifixion, resurrection of Christ in the first century, the Roman Emperor Titus in Rome burned Jerusalem, and through from 70 A.D. to 130 A.D., you find a great dispersion. All those scribes and Pharisees and all that stuff that we read about in the New Testament, those people are just decimated and murdered and destroyed and sent all through the world. Till finally the Roman Empire said, you're not going to have any representation in the land of Judea. They just moved them out. They were gone. So they were a horn. But that fourth horn, and you know, in that, you said, what about that? You know, you said God sent Jonah, God sent Daniel, Jonah the first horn, Daniel the second horn. Well, who was there with the third horn? The Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles of the Lamb. And God used the Roman Empire to scatter out what was left of Israel because they rejected his son. But they had also Rome, even in the palace, amen, of Caesar. They had a witness. God using heathen kingdoms at the same time, sending them a message. Now, before I give you that fourth horn, let's look at these carpenters. I got to hurry. In Zechariah chapter 1, he says, all right, here's the four horns. I'll save the last one. Then verse 20 comes along, and the Lord shows him four carpenters. What are they? He asks them, what come these to do? What are they going to do? He said, well, you remember those horns I told you about that scattered Judah? Yeah. He said, these carpenters are come to fray them, to cast out horns of the Gentiles. You got it? Which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. This is what God said. God said, I lifted up a horn to scatter Israel. Then I'm going to lift up a carpenter to take care of the horn. I mean, God's not limited how he can do things. I'll use you for this. I'll grab this guy over here and I'll take care of your horn with this carpenter. Now, the carpenters, the first carpenter, I'm just going to have to tell you this. You can look it up later. 2 Kings 23:29, 2 Chronicles 35:20-22. You can get the tape. Pharaoh Necho, he was king of Egypt. He comes up through Israel to fight, the Bible says, against the king of Assyria. And he destroys the king of Assyria, but in the meantime, and takes over all of that area and begins to rule the king, rule the land of Assyria. The king of Egypt did. And what's interesting about that is when he went up to fight against the king of Assyria, the Bible says King Josiah, who was the greatest king that ever lived in the history of the nation of Israel, according to the Bible. King Josiah went against him. Now watch. This is another whole message. But way down here is Egypt and up here is Assyria. And to get from Egypt to Assyria, the quickest way is sort of to go through Israel, okay? So Pharaoh Necho is bringing his army up through here. He has no quarrel with Josiah. You understand? Josiah's a good king. He's the greatest king ever lived. This man was greatest of all. Love God. Pharaoh Necho comes up. He has nothing to say to Josiah. He's just trying to get up here because he's the carpenter that's going to take care of Assyria's horn. And Josiah goes out against him. You know what Pharaoh Necho, according to the Bible, says to him? Pharaoh Necho says to Josiah, he says, God, by the mouth of God. That's what this heathen king says. By the mouth of God am I come to do this. You're meddling with what God told me to do. I'm the carpenter to take care of Assyria. And Josiah, I guess he thought because he was so right with God that he wasn't going to listen to somebody else that he knew couldn't be more right with God than he was. There's a message there. They can't be right because I know I'm more spiritual than they are. And Josiah was more spiritual than Pharaoh Necho. But God said, this is my carpenter. I got something. If you get in the way. And Josiah dies. Sadly. It's a terrible, sad story. But he was that carpenter that went up. Now later at the same place, 4 years later, Carchemish, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, comes and destroys Pharaoh Necho. But anyway, the first carpenter, I think, is Pharaoh Necho. The second carpenter, go to Daniel chapter 5, because I'm trying to get to these last ones. Daniel chapter 5. So who takes care of Babylon? The horn of Babylon, which scatters Israel through Nebuchadnezzar. Then the Bible says, here his son or his grandson, Belshazzar, is on the throne. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Well, there's your second carpenter. You know what? God came to Belshazzar through Daniel and said, Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Your kingdom has been weighed, it's numbered, and it's found wanting. Your time's up. Show's over. I raise you up, and just as quick as I raise Babylon up, okay, you're through. But remember the handwriting on the wall? It was God that sent Darius the Mede as a carpenter to go in there and take care of Babylon, and that's it. They're finished. God raises them up, takes another down. The third carpenter. Man, who destroyed Rome? That's a hard question. Because Rome never really just was destroyed or overcome. It's split in half over 900 years. You're in Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 7 again. Let's see if I can figure out what happened to Rome. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 is the Roman Empire. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding, had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had what? Now, I don't have time to get in and show you why this is the last empire, the Roman Empire. But anyway, I'm just going to read it to you. So this last empire has 10 horns. Verse 8, I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another what? Little horn. I think this is the fourth horn. The little horn, which represents the last scattering of the nation of Israel, which has not happened yet. You do know they're back in the land, a lot of them, aren't you? But you know what's going to happen not too long down the road? There's going to be a horn that comes up that's going to scatter them again. And it's going to arise out of this Roman Empire, the ones that did the scattering to begin with, all the way back in 70 A.D. A little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. Drop down to verse 11. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast, notice that, was slain. And his body destroyed and given to the burning. Well, how did this beast, that's the little horn, the remnant of the revived Roman Empire, what just destroyed it? A carpenter. The last carpenter. Verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the burning flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. I'll give you one little guess who that is. Go look on down in the chapter. It says, these 10 horns, verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and the other which came up before whom there fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And that's where I read verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue three. He shall speak against the Most High, and he's going to come to the end very quickly. So there is another horn coming, and that's who I think this little horn is. It's the Antichrist. And the Bible says back in Zechariah, turn real quick with me now. Get Zechariah chapter 14 with me, because when the Antichrist comes, there's going to be, you know, 3.5 years of peace. But then there's going to be a great scattering. There's going to be great trouble to Israel. And the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather, look at it, all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into what? Captivity. They put them into captivity. And also, if you read over there in Revelation chapter, is it 12, that the woman runs into the wilderness? She's running away from the land to hide. That's going to happen during the rule and reign of the Antichrist. Half the sea shall go forth into captivity, and the rest of the people shall not be cut off the city. Verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. There's your carpenter. That's when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. We know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Revelation 17. I'm trying to come to a close here. Revelation 17. God promised to judge all those horns who scattered his people. That's Jeremiah 30, verse 11. And he does send them the truth. He sends them the witness. The Antichrist, I believe, is that fourth horn. He's going to scatter those people out. And Jesus even prophesied that in Luke 21, 20 to 24. He says, you know, you're going to run, you're going to fight. He says the sun's going to be darkened, the moon turned to blood. That didn't happen in 70 A.D., man. It's going to happen with the Antichrist. But in Revelation chapter 17, verse 12, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the what? The beast. That's the same phrase that we just read over there in Daniel chapter 7 about that little horn. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Who's the beast? Chapter 13 is dedicated to him. He's the Antichrist. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Verse 16, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, watch this, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So it looks like that the remnant of this third horn of Rome ushered in by Titus, that the Antichrist kingdom and these ten kings destroy the great whore of Revelation chapter 17. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. They destroy that system that's left over. And we are living in an Antichrist system today. I didn't say the Antichrist is here. I'm saying we're living in the system of it. But you know, even in this, God lifted up God. You know, God allows. Look at, we're in chapter 17. Look at verse 17. Revelation 17, 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. These are the ten kings of the Antichrist. God's going to make sure that the ten kings of the Antichrist do his will. If they can do his will, I don't have an excuse. I don't even work for the Antichrist. I can do his will. Put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Man. It'd be bad if a Christian doesn't have in his heart to fulfill his will, and the Antichrist king does. The kings of the Antichrist. And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God's using them to do his work. He's using them as that carpenter to destroy that kingdom. That revived kingdom at the end of Rome. That revived Roman Empire. That worldwide kingdom. The ten kings of the Antichrist are going to destroy all that. Because why? Because they want just the Antichrist. They're going to deliver up all of what they have to the Antichrist. And he's going to be God to the whole world. There's not going to be any government or kingdoms. There's just going to be one Superman running the whole world. But you know what God does? Just like he sent Jonah to the first horn, Nineveh, and just like he sent Amen. Daniel and the three Hebrew children to the second horn, Nebuchadnezzar. And just like he's going to send he sent the Jesus and the apostles to the third horn, Rome. Even this last horn, this little horn, you know what's there in chapter 11 of Revelation? Two witnesses preaching all around there. And by the way, Zechariah chapter, I think it's chapter 4, gets into the whole thing about the two witnesses. God even sends witnesses to the Antichrist kingdom. My soul. God's interested in getting the truth out. Now, if the fourth horn is the Antichrist, then who's the carpenter? We read those verses and y'all started getting a little happy. You know what's funny about the carpenter? A carpenter stretches out a line. That's the next chapter, Zechariah. I saw a man with a line in his hand, and he measured. That takes you back to Amos. I may just preach on that Sunday morning. Amen. In Amos chapter 7, the guy, he had a plumb line, sewing it to be straight. A carpenter. You know, every time the word carpenter is used in the Bible, it's used in the Bible quite a lot. Somebody's building something or somebody's... You know the last time the word carpenter is used in the Bible? How about Mark chapter 6? Matter of fact, the last two times the word carpenter is mentioned, the first one is about Joseph. And in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says, verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this carpenter? You know what? God sent that first carpenter, Pharaoh Necho, from the mouth of God to do what he did. God wrote on the wall and said, this is what Darius, my second carpenter, is coming down the road. He's going to take care of you, Belshazzar. And even I'm going to, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. That's a chapter about the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And even the 10 kings of that run the Antichrist preparatory show, they're going to all do my will. But I'm going to tell you what, that last carpenter that's going to destroy that little horn, that's going to destroy that great horn and that last kingdom that scatters out my people, and then that last carpenter comes in, destroys that, and gathers my people Israel back, and they shall never ever be moved again. That carpenter was really sent by God. It is no joke that Jesus Christ was a carpenter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the last carpenter. He's the Ancient of Days. And when he comes, he's going to take a line and he's going to make everything straight. Amen. And he's going to take that last horn and he's just going to break it to pieces. And then it's over with. God's at work. And his son is going to finish it all. The carpenter. Boy, I like that. The four horns and the four carpenters. Why didn't they just stop and say, you know, Zechariah said something about some carpenters? Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.